advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Yo, it's Tyrone. I'm back from Tupac Island. I've been on vacation for a minute, and I'm back.
What's up, Tyrone?
What's up, my black brother?
Not much.
Yo, what you doing over there, Whitey?
I didn't know you were going to be here today. I'm just eating my cranberry and Whitey, walnut cookie over here.
You shut the fuck up, Whitey number two over there. Shut up, Tyrone, you piece of shit. Yo, I'm going to fucking stab you in the throat like that fucking sailor did, you piece of shit. Yo, I just want to say... I got back from Tupac Island. That shit was fucking dope. Dope. Dope.
How's Tupac doing?
He a dead motherfucker. He ain't even there. You got Elvis, his fat ass alive. All he does is sit around eat chocolate cookies and shit. You know, white motherfucker. And then fucking little Coleman running around snatching everybody's babies. You know, fucking piece of shit.
I think Tupac might have just been on the down low.
He might have. He got a little, there's a little plaque and shit when you get there. You take the boat in, little plaque on a dock talking about Tupac Island and how it was founded. And it's some old bullshit. And a motherfucker, you can't even find that motherfucker. Like, he the president and shit.
Let me ask this question. When you were on the island itself, did you ever go to the west side of the island?
Nah, I stayed up on the East Coast. Well, it was chill over there.
That's why you didn't see him.
Probably. You're probably right. But you know what? Fuck that nigga. We're just over here chilling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to get up out of here. Y'all have fun.
All right.
I did lose the 2016 election, y'all. But you know, we're going to keep fighting for 2027.
Yeah.
When we do the next election. And maybe.
27?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. When we do the next election.
Yeah. Yeah, I got your back.
It's like the Olympics on a fucking odd year or some shit.
Yep.
Anyway, all right. y'all take it easy. All right, Tyrone, fucking bastard, get out of here.
We haven't seen Tyrone in a minute.
All right, later, y'all.
I'm glad he's back from Tupac Island.
Yeah.
I wondered where he was.
Motherfucker.
I didn't know about the plaque.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do. I drank a fucking Four Locos the size of a horse dick.
I assumed he was either in prison or had been shot by a cop.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad to know it was Tupac Island. Speaking of being in prison, I did my final prison class for the semester. And
did they get you a gift?
Did this spark a bell?
No, they can't. They're not allowed. Actually, several of them wanted to give me artwork that they'd been working on, and they showed it to me. It was all fucking dope.
Really?
Fucking dope.
What was it made out?
Really?
Just ink on cardboard.
Yeah, they don't get they have
They actually have access to decent art supplies in their
company. I thought maybe they made pigment out of toothpaste, cup of noodles, seasoning and blood.
What the fuck?
Yeah, a little bit of soap to make it stick.
Pens.
You know what I'm pissed off about now?
Pens are sharp.
That fucking Four Locos buzz is gone.
Here. There's all
no, I'm not drinking the rest of yours. You made the commitment to drink it.
You're calling horse
and
dick.
Now that was on. Dick. Hey, that was on Tuesday, and now it's Friday, and you still haven't drank that shit.
Yeah. For the record, I've had three whiskeys.
No, you have.
You did not. Yes, I did. I had one because I had really bad anxiety when I was studying.
I
drank one to take the edge off.
No.
Then I had the bell.
No.
And then I had the bell.
No. No. You smashed that cookie. No.
Prison.
Okay, go.
I was wearing my El Yucateco hat, and I had worn it before, a long time ago, and someone saw the hat and that's my favorite hot sauce.
You were wearing the good
El Yucateco
hat.
That's right. They had repackaged Yucateco in prison or something.
And they had some way that they got it, and two different guys were
you weren't wearing the cursed one, though.
No.
The good one.
I found that one again.
And
it's in the storage room over here. I don't know why.
When I wore it today, And someone was like, oh, the hell, Yucateco. They like saw my hat and remembered. And they were talking about the fact that it's cold. Like apparently like one, like the prison yard that I teach in, apparently like two sections of it are fine. One section of it is fucking super hot. And one section of it is super cold.
But like so, in the cells?
Yeah, like, in the cells. Okay. So the ones that were in the cold cells, one of them was like, yeah, last night, like I woke up, it was so fucking cold in my cell. I was like, I got to do something. And I busted out my Ebola El Yucateco and I just did a bunch of shots right in my mouth because I knew it was gonna warm me up. And I went back to sleep. And then all started talking and like, apparently like my
presence. That's how presence they stay warm at night?
And El Yucateco, like almost everyone in there, I was like, oh, do you do El Yucateco too? And they're like, yeah, we all have El Yucateco now. Like, so somehow apparently I have spread El Yucateco through the prisons.
Oh, man.
So it's another demographic.
That's that fake warm, though, that kills you in a blizzard, though. It's whiskey. You're not really warm.
Hold on, though. How is El Yucateco going to map, like, the prison presence?
That I don't know. I don't know how they're going to get the demographic.
We have to give that to them.
And I don't know how they're getting it. I don't know if it's in the commissary. I don't know if they're getting it shipped in. Somebody's bringing it in through their butt.
They post that shit on prison smuggle. Gram.
Like, I don't know how they're getting it.
Smuggle.
But they had it, and they were all very...
What if the bottle starts leaking while it's in your ass?
Not good.
No. Same effect.
But they were all they were very happy about their El Yucateco, and the one guy tried to have some to get warm.
That's good. Yeah. Well, you know,
I'm gonna do some research on how the distribution is happening. It's in a different bottle though, or we don't know.
It might be in the little plastic.
I have no idea.
Little plastic.
It might
packs.
Be little plastic packs. It might be
in plastic bottles.
I don't know.
We need to talk to them.
I like how they get bologna sandwiches.
I want prison
and
bottles.
Fucking corn, and somehow get the exquisiteness of the teco.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Yeah, we need prison bottles. We don't have those.
I will look into that.
It might be
sir.
The commissary because they have all, it's like, because they're getting like school supplies and art supplies and all kinds of shit from the commissary. So apparently a decent sized store. It's just that everything is normal price and they make like 15 cents an hour at their jobs. So they can't really afford much.
It's like a premium.
Yeah.
Damn.
Premium pricage.
Damn. We need to talk to them.
Yeah. But they were into it. They were digging the.
That's good.
They were digging the Yucateco.
Well, always a little bit of hot sauce in your ramen noodles. Yeah. You know, because ramen noodles are big in prison now.
They are.
Like they've taken over. Yep. Cigarettes aren't as big.
Yep. I started doing that.
Ramen noodles are important and they are worth money. So a little bit of hot sauce in the ramen noodles, way to go.
Kicking it up.
Yep. Can't do it.
Someone on Instagram told me to put cheese. Like shredded cheese.
What is that, an East Coast thing?
Hell.
I went shut the fuck
and
up.
And they said it was like life changing, but.
No. Get out of here.
You tried it?
I tried it. I like cheese. I like ramen. It wasn't what I thought.
No, because you, like, what do you, like.
Hey, teco and ice cream was good.
Hold on,
who knows?
Cheese on like noodles with no like juice. Okay.
No,
like,
that's what I did.
Shells and cheese.
That's what I did.
Yeah, but you got to keep the juice. Like that's soup.
You know what
it's
I think
soup.
The problem was? I think the problem was that I used Oriental Top Ramen, and you don't put cheese on Chinese food. That's the problem. I was kind of sad because I was really looking forward to it.
And you think the Four Locos taste nasty?
I mean, it wasn't horrible, but...
No, come on.
It was not great,
Come on. Let's get real, people.
Yeah, that's a bad...
Why would you do that?
Move.
I don't know.
Just eat it normal.
I will now, except for the teco. I put teco in it.
That's normal.
Yeah. Well, that's normal. That's a little bit of hot sauce. Never hurt nobody.
Dude, ham sandwiches or any kind of like, you know, regular
bologna.
Turkey sandwich. We're never by bologna, but that green sauce, the green habanero on a sandwich, I fuck can't get enough, dude. Like I hurt myself every time. I get the hiccups because I overdo it. It's just like the sandwich is a spoon.
It's just
the teco.
Leaking,
yeah, I just pour
just
it on there.
Green sauce. Somebody
Pretty
just
much.
Got shot.
The next day I'm leaking green sauce. I overdo it.
Wow.
So what's our topic today, gentlemen?
I don't know. You put it in the title. Julian Lassange. Julian Lasagna.
You put it in the title. I don't even know what that
I don't know.
Means.
You write the fucking topic descriptions.
Yeah.
And you're asking us?
Yes.
Is it a trick question?
Well, I haven't written the topic description yet.
What are you talking about? You're way out of order.
No.
You're out of order. This whole court's out of order. Yeah.
Where's my gavel?
So Julian Lassange.
wait, Wait.
Duck
is that his middle? No, his name's middle name's Paul, bitch. You fucking threw me off.
Because Brad just Googled it.
No.
Julian Assange.
I got my notes right here in front of me.
First thing about Julian Assange. So Julian Assange, for those of you who don't know, he's the guy who's in who's behind the WikiLeaks situation. He founded WikiLeaks, etc. He's Australian born. I didn't realize his age. I thought he was a lot fucking older than he is. He was born in 1971. He looks like he's like in his mid to late 50s because he's got that fucking white hair.
Yeah.
Super white.
Yeah. But he was born, and I had a problem with this. He's born in Queensland in Australia, and he's born in the town of Townsville.
they got lazy.
That's like the worst
they got,
fucking
I mean,
town name I have ever heard in my life.
It's Australia. Come on. Like
Townsville.
They've got some shitty names.
Do they? How do you know?
Name
another
Jason,
one.
I listened to Jason Ellis. They have like fucking weird names like Tom Tom. Fucking Perth. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, but Townsville. Victoria. He was born in town.
It sounds very generic.
Yeah, it's like generic. Yeah, that's
Kangaroo. I have to draw the line at Kangaroo.
They have the Kangaroo. They have the Kangaroo.
Favorite towns. Yeah. So Assange was born to a visual artist and an anti-war activist, but the anti-war activist jumps out of the picture. A guy named John Shipton. His mom was named Christine Hawkins, but I like to say Christine Hawkins.
They do have Toowoomba.
What's just saying?
They do have
that's
Toowoomba.
A city in Australia.
But so
and Wollongong.
Oh, I like Wollongong. Christine Hawkins marries Richard Brett Assange, an actor, when Julian Assange was only one. And because of this, Assange, like, he's part of a theater troupe, so he's traveling all through Australia, and Assange never really has, like, a hometown. They're traveling, like,
They're nomads.
Yeah, they talk about his background, and they said that's a very unique part. Yeah. They said that by the time he graduated high school, he had attended 37 different schools.
Damn!
Yeah.
That'll fuck you up.
Yeah. I thought I had it rough.
No, like,
I went to a different grade school every fucking year.
Did you?
Yeah.
We moved a lot, but my school.
Well, it's
because
you stayed in the same area. Yeah. You just moved from crack house to crack house.
Yeah. Pretty much. So
I have a mail slot. That was the only criteria. Mail slot.
He studied programming and mathematics and physics. They said, like, no one said he was, like, off the dials, like, super smart or anything, but they said he was a smart kid. He clicked with math. He clicked with computer programming. And apparently his mom bought him a computer at a really young age when he was 16, which would have been in the 80s when computers really fucking sucked. But he got a computer and he got into programming and he was, like, you know, getting into hacking and He dropped out of school without ever getting a degree. He was studying computer science, and this really shows, like, part of his philosophy. Like, love him or hate him, like, he did what he set out to do, but he said that he dropped out of college because everybody who was getting their computer degrees was working on computer projects that were provided by the military. Like, most of the big projects, most of the programming, most of the grants that were being provided at his school.
He could just print a diploma.
That's true.
The degree.
But he left for moral reasons because everybody in his field in computer studies was ending up doing things for government and for, you know, all that sort of thing. And he's pretty anti-military. So he was like, fuck it, I'm dropping out. I'm not going to go down that
road. This is the other, I couldn't figure out how he got this anti-government shit.
Well, I mean, his biological father was an anti-war activist, and I mean, I think he
grew up in theater too.
Yeah,
like he was homeschooled
hippie
partially.
Artist, like, yeah.
His hacker name was Mindax.
It was just the home life. Yeah, Mindax. That was
noble liar.
1980.
Oh, I didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, it means noble liar.
I didn't know that. That's crazy. But yeah, and that was early on, right? So in 1987. He starts a computer hacking group called the International Subversives, and it's him under the name Mendax, and then his partners are Trax and Prime Suspect.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, this is nice. Badass. It made me want to be a hacker. I was like,
crazy about the International Subversives.
No,
they can work on that.
I mean, we're kind of hackers. We're brain hackers. Like, everybody's looking for Oyuki Teko.
That's true. So, we did hack their brains.
We are brain hacking. Everybody thinks Gary Coleman killed everybody.
everybody. We need hacker names, though.
Yeah, we do. Well, we have prime minister.
Here it comes,
names.
Dude.
Like, I need a badass hacker name.
Yeah, Tuesday morning. I mean, we have prime minister names. Give us hacker names. So
you
want to
give us hacker names? Give us dope hacker names. You give me some bullshit hacker name. Yeah. I'm not taking it.
Yeah, I'll take horse cock. Like, I mean, if
you don't get
that,
to pick your hacker name.
No, you don't.
No, you get to pick your hacker name.
No, yeah.
I feel like Tyler Mott is doing this one.
I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
I'm looking for a dope hacker name.
I don't think Tyler's creative enough.
Ooh. Oh, he's loving it right now.
Okay.
Oh, man.
So, but part of this, right, even though they've got a bad group name, between 1987 and 1991, and this really kind of fucking blew my mind, like it talks about like the hacks that the international subversives did. They hacked into the Pentagon, the U.S. Department of Defense, MILNET, the U.S. Navy, NASA, Australia's Overseas Telecommunications Commission, Citibank, Lockheed Martin, Motorola, Panasonic, Xerox, the Australian National University, La Trobe University, Stanford University's SRI International, which is no fucking joke. And they think he was involved in the wank attack that hit NASA in 1989.
You see the balls on NASA for that wank thing? Do you know how that went down?
No, what happened? I didn't know what that was.
Launch a shuttle with a plutonium-powered satellite that was currently, like, there was a public outcry that, like, do not launch that satellite. If that shit goes Challenger status, plutonium's getting rained all over fucking Florida.
Right.
Like, they're worried about nuclear fallout all over. So, like, they don't want
that
don't
might
want
have made
to,
them smarter.
So,
like, literally.
They get ready to launch, and literally, all of a sudden they realize there's a worm, which at that point they didn't really know much about worms. That wasn't very common, and it would fucking take over your computer and just start using characters to spell wink.
Yeah, you have to think, too, like, in, like, What year was this in? They started in 87. It was in the 80s.
89 is when the,
like,
wank, this
they had
wank thing
fucking
happened.
Monochromatic monitors.
It was green screen.
Right. Bullshit.
Yeah. Green screen,
like,
monitors.
Just fucking,
how,
like,
scared are you, though, before hackers happened? It comes up in the NASA computers and it says wank across your screen. And it says you speak of times of peace and you prepare for war, which is like it's a line from a punk rock band. I don't remember what the band was, but that's
Bad Religion.
It might have been.
Probably not.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't listen to punk rock.
But anyways, then it says we have control or something like that of your fucking computer, and worms just jump.
And this is NASA.
Yeah, it's NASA.
Fucking NASA.
They're about to fucking launch.
They adjusted their glasses. Yeah. They were like, oh my god.
They know like 300 computers are infected. They know there's this public fucking outcry to not even launch this shit because if it goes bad, you're raining plutonium. It's the first time they launched a satellite with a plutonium powered battery, and they fucking just launch. They do it anyway.
Fuck it.
They launch, but everything goes off without a fucking hitch, and then they deal with the fucking wank thing. And allegedly, like, they don't ever approve, still to this date, none of them have agreed that they were involved in any way with that.
Wow.
Which is gangster to do something so, like, crazy and not take any credit.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. That's
or,
weird.
Or they right. didn't do
that's
it.
That's some weird integrity.
Yeah, or they didn't,
do it, yeah.
Yeah.
But whoever did it and doesn't take credit, that's like a level of integrity that is like, that's
right.
a hard egoless
right. yeah.
thing to do.
Yeah. I'm doing this and I don't fucking care about yeah. the cred, you know, or they didn't take any credit that wasn't on some fucking deep mega buried fucking hacker net. Like, maybe
true.
People in
yeah.
the know who did it and they don't give a fuck if the public does, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry, but my computer was dying.
I saw you crawling around.
Yeah,
I
did.
I got excited for a second.
Yeah.
It moved.
You thought I was going to go under the desk.
I'll just say it fluffed up a little bit. Nah. I wouldn't be embarrassed in the shower if you walked in. That's all I'm saying, man.
You know, so yeah, so
I've seen bigger.
Yeah, I was ready.
Assange, like, at a young age, was doing ridiculous hacks, right? I mean, like, fucking yeah. super crazy shit.
He gets caught for that and gets, like, $2,600 fine and probation or something.
He gets
bullshit.
Caught for one hack. So he, in 89, before that hack, he apparently was married to a woman named Teresa, and they had a son, a guy named Daniel Assange, who's now a software designer and all growed up. But in 91...
Did he graduate?
He probably did.
He probably had to.
In 91, he hacked Nortel, which was the major multinational telecommunications corporation in, like, Canada and Australia. And he hacked into the master terminal in Melbourne. And that's what he got busted for. So the Australian Federal Police found out he was doing it. They tapped his phone line so that they could check his modem use, et cetera.
Yeah.
And they
ended Which is crazy. They tapped the phone line for the modem.
For the modem. Yeah. Like, this is the era that we're talking about.
14
right?
4 modem.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or actually, probably less than that at that point.
Maybe. Yeah.
56K. That,
yeah. Probably.
No, I'm all jacked up.
But in
12.4.
12.4. So he gets charged in 94. With 31 counts of hacking and related crimes. And by 96, he pleads guilty to 25 of the charges. A bunch of them were dropped. And he has to pay $2,100.
That's crazy.
For fucking hacking into a major corporation.
Yeah. What's crazy, though, is he got off just because the judge was like, due to your nomadic circumstances.
Yeah, that was weird.
You grew up like a nomad. So we're just going to go ahead and let you off a little easy.
Right.
Because it wasn't hacking up people making skin suits.
Yeah,
that's the difference.
Right.
Yeah, he went a different path.
Right.
Yeah, he was, plus, it was the exploratory nature of it. He didn't actually mess with shit.
Yeah, he just hacked in.
He just, can I get in and look around? It was like breaking in.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
anything.
All he those probably places, left a message. You know,
all those places that he hacked, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah,
he just acknowledges he found a hole in the system and he got in.
Right.
And that's all that he did. So he wasn't actually like bringing the systems down or anything, but he was good enough at getting through computer systems to pull off those fucking hacks, which is very impressive.
We could have afforded a modem, man, back in the day.
Yeah.
I'd have gone all state, man. I could have thrown a football over them fucking mountains. We couldn't afford a modem back in the 80s, but I had a computer, man.
I think another reason that he got let off for that crime is because that, like, the charges didn't start, like, the prosecution didn't start until 94 and through 96. But in 1993, he was giving technical advice to the Victoria Police Child Exploitation Unit, and he was assisting them in, like, catching pedophiles.
Yeah.
So he was giving them, like,
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that might have also played a big part into his
sentence.
Well,
he was big into the underground. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He was Chris Hansen before there was Chris Hansen.
Who?
Chris Hansen, to catch a predator,
catch
man.
Predator.
Right.
Yeah. Why did you bring condoms and Zima?
Yeah.
So he was doing
I just want to hang out, man. Just gonna hang out. 12-year-olds are cool, man. He said he had an Xbox, so we're just going to hang out.
So he was doing some good white hat stuff, you know, in the middle of that. So I think that might be why he got let off.
Probably, yeah.
And then I didn't see much else through the 90s until about 99. Did you guys find much else in his hacking days?
No.
Co-founded the Earthman Technology, but I didn't see what that was.
What is it?
He co-founded the company Earthman Technology.
What year?
It was in 98. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then leaks.org in 99.
Yeah, he registers leaks.org in 99, but he doesn't really do anything with it. He just sort of sits
He pretty much says, like, it's nothing. Like,
it's the plan.
Like, yeah,
I
he's
think.
Not going to do anything. Yeah. But that was, everybody's saying that was a lie. Like, he did do something with it, but nobody really knows
what he did.
Yeah.
And in the same year in 99, he discovered, you know, again, looking at the ideas of Echelon that we did, you know, a couple of episodes ago and so forth, he ends up discovering a patent that the National Security Agency, and this is all, he's still in Australia, but he ends up discovering a patent that's been filed by the NSA for voice harvesting technology. Like, basically their ability to do mass data harvesting of telecommunications. And he ends up, like, publishing the information online, and he lets people know the NSA has this technology. And his quote at this time is, "The internet, our greatest tool for emancipation, has been transformed into the most dangerous facilitator of totalitarianism we have ever seen." So as, you know, as early as 99, he's looking at computer technology and saying this information revolution that we're all benefiting from is also going to allow people to completely control information.
And there's, you know, there's pros and cons, you know?
Yep.
The same power happens
I just,
people,
you know, like,
you know what I mean?
It's hard to say, though. Like, I mean, we did an Edward Snowden episode, you know, and talking about, like, was it patriotic for him to let people know, or was it criminal? You know, like, yes. It, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between the two because we don't understand the repercussions.
Right.
Like, we want to know, like, what's going on, but yet all of a sudden it lets everybody else know what's going on, and that can cause national security issues.
And as I was doing this research, I mean, because I, when I started researching Snowden, I was pretty quickly jumping on the Snowden train.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty fucking legit. And yeah, I'm having a much harder time jumping on the Assange train.
90% of the stuff that Snowden did, and I'm going to say 90% because some of the stuff I'm like, eh, you know, he kind of leaked, you know, secret information that probably should have been leaked. But 90% of it, or 85 or whatever, yeah, like, I want to know if somebody's able to listen to me. The problem with Assange is,
like, he's like a transparency radicalist. Like, he's right, like, yeah, right, he's very black and white. He's like, yeah, nope, if they did this, then everyone should know.
Everybody should know.
And he's not as careful as like someone like Snowden is about like redacting information. True. And just, he says there's nothing really that he wouldn't publish.
Right, exactly.
Even in the case that someone's going to get hurt.
Because he's so radical.
Better good. Yeah.
Yeah, because he's so radical that it doesn't matter.
One of the guys I saw in an interview said,
which it does matter,
he would equate things because he's like lived in a digital world since he's Mindax in a basement doing all this stuff.
Right.
He's not very social. He's just digital. And he has like this lack of heart. He doesn't see like the effect and the outcome of it.
He's pretty much a machine.
Good. Yeah. He's like, this is the better good. I know people will get hurt, but in the same fashion that people are like, oh, let's just shoot these people. We got to get bad guys. There's going to be innocent bystanders. Yeah. He's doing the same thing with information. He's saying the better of the good is the whole of transparency of people seeing this and calling him out. Like, his quotes are awesome. He says, I'm a combative person. I like crushing bastards. Like, I was like, that is fucking gangster.
Yeah,
dude.
But what's your definition of a bastard? You know what I mean? Like, I might look at something and be like, damn, the NSA is doing this. Fuck those motherfuckers. But on the other hand, they're the ones keeping us safe.
Yeah.
Right.
And or it's a big fucking facade and we don't really know. Well, that's the problem.
The problem is you can't look at society like a math equation, unfortunately. Yeah, there's like a weird human element that comes into play that there's no way of putting into the equation. There's judgment calls of like the person that tells on Bradley Manning. You know, you get presented that and you have to make a call.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You come to this crossroad and it's like there is no right or wrong answer. It's the lose-lose type of situation. Well,
and again, I think
it's the lesser of two evils.
Maybe. It's lose-lose. Like, it's no win. Yeah. It's the Star Trek thing. Like,
but the Kobayashi movie.
Yes. What?
But the thing is, I think you hit on a good point, which is like Snowden was very careful about the information that he leaked. I'm sure he had a ton more information that he could have leaked.
Yeah.
But he wanted to leak this specific information about the government spying on American people that he thought was illegal and unconstitutional. And he wanted to like make people know about this. He was very cautious about who he gave the information to. He let really, you know, famous journalists vet the information before it got released.
He was very reputable.
But yeah, Assange
does some things where like, I have an algorithm that will redact names and stuff. And then like a week before, he hasn't even started on 15,000 articles. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but they're like, I don't know, he's a super hacker. Maybe he's going to just run some algorithm and it's going to find any word that's not in the dictionary and just start blacking shit out. But that doesn't happen. Like 100 names get out.
And like talking about some of the things that he said, like I was looking at his early quotes when he's talking about his end game, and he said, the more secretive or unjust an organization is, the more leaks induce fear and paranoia in its leadership and planning coterie. This must result in minimization of effective internal communication mechanisms, an increase in cognitive security tax, and consequent system-wide cognitive decline, resulting in decreased ability to hold on to power as the environment demands adaption. So, yeah, like
he sounds like fucking Siri.
Yeah. But then he says organizations have two choices. One, reduce their levels of abuse or dishonesty, or two, pay a heavy secrecy tax in order to engage in ineffectual but secretive processes. So his goal is to put everything on blast, and organizations either need to quit being as fucking secretive and be more open about what they're doing, or they need to pay the price. That's his operating theory.
I agree on one side, but on the other side, I disagree. Like, everybody has to have secrets. Like, now I'm afraid he's going to come after us for our marketing.
Well, how do I look in this dress? Does it make me look fat? No. There's things like that. There's little social norms, like our international relationships with people that were exposed of like, what the fuck? They tricked me into doing that? Yeah. They told me to look at Germany, and I thought I was helping us, but I was really just helping them spy on this diplomatic, like, you know, leader. And then they find out, like, America's fucking us all, you know, and it really makes relationships strained between other countries. But after it's all said and done and everybody rises from the ashes, they're like on guard. And if you know that you can't keep a fucking secret, you won't do shit that you shouldn't keep secret. It's like not talking shit about people. You say only the things you would say to someone's face. You know what I mean? And you probably will have good relationships.
Well, but I mean, at the same time, though,
just don't say that
shit. In the history of civilization, every government has secrets from other governments.
Right.
Every government is spying to protect its own borders. Every government is doing things for national security that the population doesn't need to know about.
But the internet didn't exist at that point. It's a different world. Like, you had to fucking give a guy a letter on a horse and he had to drive across three fucking countries to get to some place.
Right, but I mean, back then, should everyone have had access to what was in that letter in America if it was some fucking secretive shit that's gonna like ruin war plans?
No, because the quake hadn't settled yet. Like, if you look at early civilization, like, there's a lot of fucking, I mean, there's still war and whatnot, but it's for different reasons. It's for like gain of stuff. Like, the boundaries hadn't been set. Like, the people hadn't figured out who's the tough guy in the block necessarily. There was, everything hadn't settled. You know what I mean? People in early civilization, everyone was constantly a fucking war. Like, I want this, I want that. And now we have some pretty clear set boundaries. There's still some battles about, you know, who wants this, you know, Israel, or, you know, there's a little bit of that left over, but really we know where these lines are at. There's some problems with resources and managing those. And a lot of that is where our war stems from. But now that we're in this type of society, in this type of situation, I think, with information availability, it's a new type of societal structure, and you got to be careful. Anything you fucking
I'm just saying I can't get behind his philosophy that all information needs to be fucking free to everybody. No. Because there's information that is secret. I mean, like,
because there's guys still.
Like, exactly. I look back at World War II. Like, we broke the Enigma code, but we couldn't let anyone know we broke the code because that was what, like, according to Assange, we should just, like, the entire world should know we broke the Enigma code.
But he might create a new thing. Like, think if all of a sudden everybody could hear everybody's fucking thoughts and there was no going back. You know what I mean? There's this new technology where I know exactly what you're fucking thinking and there's nothing you can do about it anymore. Everybody shits on the table. That would suck.
You don't want to know what I'm thinking.
No, we don't. But that can happen. And that might happen. That might be some future technology that we can't avoid. And all of a sudden you have zero secrets. Your fucking, your girlfriend knows what you're thinking. Your fucking boyfriend knows what you're thinking.
See,
your wife knows your shit. Like, okay, there's nothing you can hide.
In theory, that sounds okay.
No, in theory, it sounds fucking horrible.
Like, you look at someone.
If you think about it in good terms, like, oh, that sounds great. Like, I know nobody's going to be lying to me. But really, in reality, it's horrible.
Well, yeah, but everybody would adapt. So, like, what I'm saying is this is a new society we live in where information is available and flows in a different way. And if this stuff exists, it's not going away. Hackers will always be hackers. They'll always expose this shit. There's going to be Anonymous. There's going to be Assange. There's going to be
Snowden. The other thing is, though, too, that the government, like, oh, hey, you're releasing all of America's bad shit. Okay. They would have released it anyway 10 years later.
Well, it kind of changed the game, though. Like, after 9/11, the new structure for, like, CIA and NSA is let information flow. Don't hold on to it. Because if everyone would have kept holding on to it, maybe Russia knew some shit we needed to know. Maybe the UK knew something we needed to know. Maybe if we had told them we saw this, they might tell us they saw that, and you put some puzzle pieces together. So they're keeping less secrets, and they're seeing. And I think that it's a change that's going to happen. It's an evolution of the societal structure because of the availability of information.
The change is definitely happening. Yeah. I mean, it's we're reaching a post-secret age. Yeah,
good or bad, we might all wear fucking gray suits and walk around listening to techno. I don't know what the fuck happened.
That's
because South Park gets offended by everything. Like, oh, we can't make everyone happy, so we all just end up being the same. Like,
the other thing is, though, like, it might just, it's just different. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, we're getting desensitized. It's like, if you constantly look at dead bodies, it doesn't bother you. But then as soon as somebody who doesn't see dead bodies all the time looks at a dead body, they're like, ah, it's fucking whatever.
You're just saying we're used to, like, the government does that shit.
We're used to it. Yeah. Oh, the government. Oh, there's another mass shooting.
Torturing someone, of course they did.
Yeah, there's another mass shooting. I think the government did it. Well, of course they did.
Right.
You know, like, it just becomes this thing that's there. And it doesn't shock you anymore.
Right.
You know what I mean? Oh, the government's listening. Well, of course they're listening. We all knew that already.
You're right. Because I do think they're listening, and I'm like, ah, fuck.
Phones are listening.
Yeah.
Like, that is a real thing. You know, like, they want to hear you.
That thing we talked about, the gay thing. So they got to know.
I know. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't bother me.
So in
our
so,
balls didn't touch. It doesn't matter.
So with these philosophies being what are allegedly fueling Assange, he starts WikiLeaks in 2006 and he posts it. I mean, you can fucking go there. It's WikiLeaks.
Right.
And all this, I'm always sketched out to go to WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
Like every time like I'm like, oh, I should go to WikiLeaks and check it out. I'm like, nope, fuck that. I'm not touching
you're
WikiLeaks.
You're fucked. Everything you ever Googled to research this show, you are fucking on the list.
No, I'm not worried about being on a list. I just get sketched out about going to WikiLeaks. Like, I don't know why. It's like, I just feel like
there's
extra scrutiny.
I think when martial law happens, our cell phones are going to explode and we're on the fucking red list. And
when martial law happens, they shut down cell towers.
That's true.
Yeah.
So in 2006, a group of other students from the University of Melbourne, where he had attended, established WikiLeaks. He considers himself to be the editor in chief of operations, which is an interesting title, not the CEO, not the fucking grand poobah. Like, he's the editor in chief, implying this is a journalistic endeavor. Like if you're an editor in chief, it's over a magazine or a newspaper. Right. And this is the title that he uses, which is also interesting because he wins tons of journalism awards for revealing, you know, different things. So from 2007 to 2010, WikiLeaks starts getting bigger. He's traveling every place, on WikiLeaks business.
And they look much bigger than they are. They're very small.
Very small operation.
Like five people.
Yeah. At the time.
With
and it's
laptops
not,
in a fucking room.
And at this time, it really isn't even much anyway. Like in 2008, he put out emails from Sarah Palin that, you know, during the election. He likes to fuck with elections by releasing stuff. He did it most recently in the Trump election. He was releasing a ton of stuff from the Democratic National Convention.
He was releasing
a bunch of stuff. But the big one, the big thing, the name that you'll hear, and I think you used the other name, is Chelsea Manning.
Yeah. I hit that and I was like, wait a minute, I kind of remember this. Yeah. And then I had to look into it.
So Chelsea Manning, born Bradley Manning, was a U.S. soldier.
Dude?
He was. Now he's Chelsea.
I thought it was
now
a chick.
Now she's Chelsea Manning, but he was born Bradley Manning. Yeah. So in 2013, he got court-martialed for violating the Espionage Act because he gave 750,000 classified documents to Assange to be released on WikiLeaks.
His story is really interesting, too.
Very interesting. Like, break down what you heard about him.
Well, he's a very meek, confused, not comfortable with himself, confused about sexuality. And basically, he gets picked on so much in the military that they put him in an administrative position and he's a security specialist or something. He's in charge of clearance. They give him higher access, kind of give him a desk job because he's a pretty smart guy, actually, to the point that one of the other people in charge of his unit said that they have never to this date seen someone so gifted in the position that he held.
Right.
But he was emotionally all over the place. He was addicted
Sounds
to soda. Like he would drink two liters. So 4 liters of soda every single night, go without sleep because he would stay up tinkering with computers and stuff so much. And act out. Like they said, his arms would flail around and he would throw like little tantrums that like she had never seen a soldier do before. But he kept,
so he was super gay.
Notifying. Yeah. One of the other guys did say, that he had a picture of like him and his sister or something. And they were like, that was kind of weird, man. Like rubbing your own. Not that I got a problem with it, but like everyone knew he was gay.
Yeah.
It was obvious.
Or transsexual. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, yeah. So it ends up being that at that point, he didn't know yet. In the beginning, he himself didn't really even know. At some point he experiments and rides on a train in full drag just to see what it's like to live a day as a woman. But
this sounds like a topic.
He starts to express his concerns for his level of discomfort and why he's acted out and why he's getting harassed, and tells his commanding officer, like, this is what's happening. I'm not okay. Like this, I need, he was kind of calling out for help.
Right.
But they don't do anything about it. He contacts, what's that guy's name? I want to say Adamo, but that's Battlestar Galactica.
What?
Lamo, the ex hacker that he actually confides in. He's an ex hacker, and that's the person that Bradley Manning confides in, who actually ends up turning him in. Well, so he contacts that guy and says, what would you do if you were in a position of high level security and you had all these secrets that were of questionable moral. Like, you knew about all right. these bad things were happening.
Right.
And the guy kind of gives him, like, he's like, hey, I consider yourself talking to a priest. This is confession, yada, yada, yada. Well, he ends up turning him in.
Nice.
But before that happens, Bradley Manning downloads all the information and puts it on blank CDs and labels them Lady Gaga. And so when he knows it's getting close to him, probably wow. freaking out or getting in trouble, and he like puts it in his Discman and actually lip syncs Lady Gaga while he's carrying the shit out to get it off the base. Wow. Kind of like how, I think, what was it? Snowden put everything in a fucking Rubik's Cube,
right.
And snapped it in that little thing and like handed it to the guard and got through the metal detector and all that shit. Well, he does it with Lady Gaga CDs that are Sharpied on a blank CD. So the government's most crazy secrets, all this WikiLeaks shit, snuck out
super
on blank CDs
bullshit,
with fucking
fuck.
Lady Gaga written on
That's
it.
Crazy.
That's how easy it was. So it's just weak servers, lack of security, but so many things happened for him to be able to get that information. He contacted hacker groups. He went to like a hacker get-together thing and was caught on camera doing so. But he contacted them and got like rainbow tables to hack passwords, and then hackers hacked the passwords from the government and gave him back the passwords. He logged in and got the information. So he got the information. So many things. All the signs, him acting out. He gets in a fight and punches his superior in her face, and she's all, I can't believe he messed with a woman. She's all, I can't believe he messed with me. I had 15-inch biceps at the time. And then they just like on the documentary I watched showed her with like a football jersey on. She's all fucking buff chick.
She must have beat
but
his
she put,
ass.
She's like, yeah, she's all, I put him in what MMA would call a guillotine. Yeah, and she's all, I wrapped him up. And then he got moved, his weapon got taken away, but they kept his security clearance. There were, so all the outcries of, I'm confused, right. I'm not comfortable with myself, he's suicidal, all these things are happening, and they don't do shit. Well, and they didn't have security procedures.
You know what,
place.
Though?
Like,
I think
almost asking
if you're in the military, like, fucking get over it. Like,
it was
you can't
perfect
be throwing
storm.
Fits. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's, I mean, that's pretty much what's going to happen. So he ends up giving a ton of information to Assange, and this was one of these things that he gives away was the first time that I was like, okay, maybe Assange should be doing what he's doing because
right.
of some of the stuff. So the first thing that he gave was something that's called the Reykjavik 13, which was some private diplomatic cables between the United States and Iceland. And that was the first thing. I didn't really get into that. But the big thing was there was a film called Collateral Murder.
Right.
Did you guys see it?
Yeah.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
Holy fucking
shit.
Dude
just act like they're playing Call of Duty is the problem.
So Collateral Murder, I'll talk you through the video and then explain the aftermath. So the video is footage of a helicopter that's over Baghdad, and it's circling around some people. Gathering intelligence, and you see the people are talking, and it's just, you know, typical military chatter. There's two helicopters actually that are communicating to each other and then talking to a base, and they're constantly going in a circle, so they'll lose visual of their people as they come to the other side of the building and then have to loop back around on the other side and see them because they're constantly circling over Baghdad. So they're sitting there and they're following these people, and they're in the Amin district of Baghdad. They circle several times and they see some people, and they say these guys have guns, and they're like, they have AK-47s.
And maybe one of those guys in that first video had one. Like, there was like eight guys standing around, and it looked like one guy might have had a rifle.
One guy had something
point.
Slung over his shoulder.
Yeah,
and then, at one point they look at somebody and they're like, the guy's got an RPG, and they're all like hiding like around the corner of a building, and the guy looks around the building and he's holding something on his shoulder, and they're like, that guy's got an RPG, can we get permission to fire? And they're just begging for permission to fire, you know.
They're all permission
and
to
then,
engage.
And
permission
then they finally
engage.
Give them permission to engage, and they open fire, and it's just fucking a shit hail of explosive 50 caliber bullets that just fucking rip
the
through
delay's
these eight
crazy
dudes.
Though,
the
because
delay
they were saying
crazy.
How far away they were that they have no idea. They can't even hear the helicopter noise at that distance.
No.
And that 50 cal is like dot 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 dot, and they're holding the crosshairs, and then all of a sudden you just see like dirt. And
and explosions. Like, I mean, it's fucking, it's crazy. And it just
explosive
fucking,
rounds.
It wipes
well,
most
it's
of them
probably
because
he had an RPG and it fucking blew up.
No. We'll get there.
Just he had a fucking man bag.
Wait for it.
He had a man purse with a laptop.
They get hit. Most of them are dead right away. Some of them are crawling, and they keep shooting the ones that are crawling. Then they disengage. One of them is crawling, and they say, we think he's going for a weapon. And they're like begging him to go for a weapon. Like, you hear hear them on the thing and they're like, go for a weapon, pick up a fucking weapon, you son of a bitch, like pick something up so that we have, you know, authority. But he doesn't pick anything up. He's just crawling for his fucking life. He's just been shot. And then a van pulls up, right? This black van comes pulling up, and then they're freaking out and they're like, there's a van picking up. It's extracting the survivors. Like, do we have permission to engage? And they're like, do you see any weapons? And they didn't really see any weapons, but they get permission since they get out of the van and grab the guy who's crawling away to put him in the van.
But it literally sounds like Call of Duty on headsets at that point, because he's all, oh man, look at that, right through the windshield.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, no. So they get permission to engage in the van and they just light up the fucking van, fire it up,
two kids in the
kill van. Everybody. And it turns out that all of them were photographers for Reuters wire service. They were carrying cameras and microphones.
Two of them were photographers from Reuters wire service.
The rest of them were their escorts.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like crew, but two of them were photographers or journalists. I'm sorry.
They were there to film an American Humvee that had been attacked by the Mahdi army. And like all of their confirmations of AK-47s and RPGs were a guy with a fucking camera on his shoulder. And they just
don't be fucking with the camera on his shoulder in wartime.
I guess.
Like, you know what though? Like
and in the van, like, there were two kids that got fucking shot and killed.
And they literally said, don't bring your kids into a battle zone, man.
That
Dave, look at, I knew you were going to do it.
You know what though? Like, no, that's shitty. Like, I'm on the shitty boat on that one, but playing devil's advocate, it's fucking wartime. Like, those guys are so fucking caught up with, hey, everybody over here has got fucking RPGs and they're trying to kill us.
They're so far away though. There's no RPG getting them. They couldn't even hear the helicopter at that distance.
The problem is though, if they think they have them,
rules of engagement were followed. They requested to engage target. Yeah, right. They saw something that could have been mistaken for an RPG. Yeah. It was more the demeanor in which they conducted themselves, honestly, about doing
it. You know what though? I can't say that, because if I did that, I'm like, oh, headshot through the window. Yeah, got him. You know what I mean? I'm going to do the same fucking thing.
I know you would,
It was just shoddy intelligence though, you know?
Yeah, That's the
fucked up part. It's like,
but then the thing is,
it seems to me that the people would fucking be trained well enough to know the difference between a fucking camera and an RPG.
Or take your time. There's no immediate threat.
No.
You could have really just checked it out a little bit more.
Like, because they would have, if they were rooters,
the other thing is,
they were rooters, people that were investigating a downed Humvee, they were embedded reporters. There was probably a paper trail from a base saying that, they were
here. They could have said, hey, do we have any friendlies in the area whatever unit?
They might not
have reported it.
They were talking to the base to get permission to open fire, and they got the permission. I mean,
the other thing is too though, like the day before, those guys might have gotten their buddies blown up in a fucking tank or a Humvee that got blew up on a highway with some RPGs or a fucking, you know,
well,
what
the
I
next
mean?
Problem
with,
is that Reuters or Reuters or however you say that requested the video footage, and they're like, oh, that's classified. It's not. Those dudes trade that fucking the camera footage around on like CDs and flash drives as like highlight videos in the army. It's not classified footage, not restricted stuff that's available widely, and then they told them they can't have it. That's classified.
Well, and if they're trading it around, then they should be able to get it.
Yeah. That video, that collateral murder video, was what really put WikiLeaks on the map. That was the first big leak that made people go, oh, fuck, what's going
on? And I think that's what's fucked up. Like, that's a fucked up scenario. Like, that's some bullshit. Like, yeah, kids were in the van. Like, it was a camera. Complete, just utter fuck up.
Yeah.
But you got to think where they're at, the pressure they're under, the guys they just lost. You know what I mean? They're trying to clear zones.
It's an isolated incident, but it seems such that it was business as usual.
Maybe.
It seemed like these are just
he releases a thing called the Afghan war logs and the Iraqi war logs. And it's just tons of fucking airstrikes that killed civilians, airstrikes that had no intelligence backing it up. Like, just this pattern of the U.S. military having faulty intelligence, killing the wrong people, not saying anything about it, covering it up, keeping it hidden. And this is what Manning released.
If those helicopters were Iraqi in the United States, you think they would have given a fuck? Probably not.
No, what I'm trying, how about this? How about Russia invades and they have some crazy scary helicopter?
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, Russians are here. You go grab all your AR-15s and you're carrying them out to the car and you set your daughters in the back seat and they fucking blow them all up.
Yeah, and they're going to.
Right, but how do you feel about it?
No, it doesn't matter. I'm dead. They're going to. That's the thing. Like, they're going to. They're not going to give a shit if you have kids or you. It was just a camera you were carrying.
My argument. Well, invalid because Brad.
No. I'm not trying to be a dick, and I'm not trying to be fucked up, and I'm not trying to be funny, and I'm not trying to be an asshole. But those situations, if they happened over here, they don't care about you. Like, we make a big deal out of it because we're humane. Like, we're like, oh my gosh, they fucking killed the extra goats that they had. I can't believe they did that. Why did they do that?
Well, no, here's the issue though. The issue, and again, I think this is why Assange was all over this, is that the things that Manning released were like, you don't understand, this shit is happening all the time. And we never hear about it.
Right.
This collateral damage, the fucking civilian deaths, like these are fuck-ups. But we're never hearing about it. It's all covered up. It's all swept under the rug.
There would be an outrage and we wouldn't go to war. Like, we went to war on pretenses that were false in the first place, let alone to go over there and start killing kids, innocent people, and reporters that are on our side, too, on top of it.
Like, I fully understand. Yeah. Like, once you make the decision, we're going to war, there are going to be civilian deaths. Yes. That's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
But they should be real about it. Yeah. They should say in every case.
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
That's why
we fucked up. You know, our men thought that this was the case, and you know, going along with it. Yeah, fucking carrying a camera on your shoulder looked like an RPG.
And to be honest, I think. This backs what Brent was saying earlier. I think it did have that effect because after these leaks started to happen, once you start to get a bombing that didn't kill the target and killed 8 kids in a school, the U.S. Army starts to say, we had a bombing today.
Yeah,
8 kids in a school got killed. But I don't think that was happening before these leaks. Yeah. It was just kind of being sat on. Now, every time something like that happens, they come out and they make the announcement.
So they're still coming out making the announcement. It's still doing the same shit. So it didn't really make a difference.
It's the whole like locks keep an honest man honest. When there's some type of consequence in place and something holding you to a certain standard, like it's the integrity factor, like what you do when no one's looking versus, oh shit, someone's looking. A lot of people would steal some shit if there was just money laying out. But if money's in a box, there's one guy out of that 10 that's going to try to get the money in a box.
It's going to break your window and get in there.
But if it's all laying out, maybe 3 of those people do it because they're like, oh, we're not going to get in trouble. I'll get away with this thing. This is what's up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
maybe.
Yeah. So I think when they're like, oh, I better not do this, it really changes your mentality when you know you're being watched.
Yeah, kind of. You know what I mean? But I mean, the government, who gives a fuck? Like, they do all kinds of crazy shit. You know what I mean?
The families, that's probably who gives a fuck.
Yeah.
Of all the people that died.
Yeah, I understand that, but I'm saying they don't give a shit.
Right.
You know, like, it's.
Well, they do if they're going to have a fucking riot.
You know what, though? Like,
if everyone's going to.
Well, that's great because those same people want to kill you. You know, like there's repercussions for every action. Like, oh yeah, that's fucked up. Yeah, we should
maybe
be doing
that. Maybe they want to kill you. Maybe they don't. Maybe we're over there for fucking oil and don't want to kill you. It's some propaganda. Happens. Yeah, because they're fucking pissed because we killed all their uncles.
Right. It's been that
way. Because
we
can fucking kill their babies and shit all the time.
It's in the Quran. If you're not fucking Muslim, you die.
Yeah, but most of them don't actually act on that.
That's not in the Quran.
Yes, it is.
No.
Actually, there is some crazy thing I fucking read about it. We should listen to the...
really have to look it up.
If you actually read the Quran, it does say like all fucking...
It's the infidel thing.
Yeah, all infidels. Like, there's some fucked up shit in there. I have not read it, but like the little excerpts that I've seen people post, maybe it's out of context, but I was like, God damn, that's
I would suspect
crazy.
It's out of context. That would be my
guess. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's old. It's just like the fucking Bible. Like, the Bible changed because...
We're not stoning fucking prostitutes in the street anymore.
Like,
so.
I say we stay with the Old Testament and fucking bury people up to their neck and fucking throw stones at them. Like, that would
have to chop Dave's hand off for Walmart then.
Just his feet for walking into Walmart.
That's right.
He's just got nubs.
So shortly after all this stuff, the U.S. gets pretty pissed at WikiLeaks and they start coming after WikiLeaks.
Of course.
They start opening up a ton of investigations. Most of them kind of fall flat. They're not really able to go after WikiLeaks because where are they? Who are we going after? What is it?
People
that
start
we're
replicating
trying to pursue?
The servers on mirror servers
right. So
globally.
There's no
It's the whole anonymous thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but they do go after Manning. They arrest him because he did leak this classified information.
He was the one connection that they made.
So he broke the Espionage Act of 1917, but they're trying to pin these things on WikiLeaks.
They keep him in solitary confinement.
How do you?
And they fucking turn on the lights 24 hours a day and make him stand naked.
Yeah. This
for
this,
a year.
Fuck.
They did that to him.
Fuck. This is the crazy shit. Like, how do you, how do you do some digital shit and fucking go against the 1917 Act?
Because it's, you know, espionage. What I mean? Like,
well, it's espionage.
Yeah,
it's providing information.
You're providing to a foreign enemy.
Oh yeah, true. Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter.
What's
whether
funny
it's
is
paper or
Julian Assange actually fires his number one and quotes the 1917 Espionage Act for insubordination and like risk of information something something, and it's like kind of
insubordinate
funny that came back around. Yeah.
Insubordinate and churlish.
Yeah, churlish.
Churlish. So the
nice
the thing that happens to Assange at this point is in 2010. This is part of what kind of sleazes up his image, whether this is true or not, but he's in Sweden and files are charged against him of sexual assault and rape.
Oh, he gets the old Mike Tyson.
The charges are dropped, right away. But then shortly thereafter, the charges are reopened by a prosecutor who says that there's more evidence and they actually think it's a real thing. And you can find a lot of the information online. There's a discussion. They only refer to him as Mrs. A and Mrs. W. And they give tales of him being there at a conference and having like sex with him that at first was like consensual, but then became like this weird, he held me down and had sex with me with a condom that was ripped and he knew it. And I was telling him not to, cause I didn't want to get an STD or get pregnant, but he did it anyway. So all this, like all this stuff,
there's a little bit of weirdness behind that. Like, his mentality, possibly, like psychologically, his motivations, he has four like estranged children all over the world. And the fact that like, he's this digital hidden, you know, hacker,
right,
that maybe he wants some sort of stability. Like, yeah, like, cause he doesn't have a foundation, a place to go, a place where he lives. He's always been, you know, hiding. And so that for him to reproduce it, like leave some lasting legacy thing, there was like a psychological profile that talked about him, that might possibly be a thing. Maybe he did tear the condom. Maybe he's trying to get her pregnant.
He wants a legacy.
He just
wants
a legacy. Right.
He's got that Genghis
because
Khan,
he'll never
the Vikings
have that
type
like
shit.
Married thing. It's a weird thing.
Well, and the thing is, so the Assange's lawyers and Assange himself, they end up using actual hacker terminology, and they say that this whole thing was a honeypot.
Right.
And they say that this thing was designed to lure him into a situation. The entire thing was fabricated, and they think that the U.S. government, because he was in a country that was friendly with the U.S. government, was able to get these fake charges so that they would hope Sweden would arrest him. They could get him extradited. They could do all this stuff and get him pinned. And this is the claim that Assange's people make.
I think I'm going to go on a limb and say just women are crazy.
And right. he ends up going back to Britain. And when the Swedish government talks to him and says, we want to talk, he says, I don't mind talking to you, but I'm not flying back there. You have to come and talk to me in London.
Right. Yeah.
And he ends up at that point getting into the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And that's where he conducts his interviews by phone with the Swedish prosecutor. And then from that point on, he ends up getting asylum. Ecuador grants him asylum. But he's stuck in the Ecuadorian embassy because if he leaves to fly out, he's now fucked in the UK and he'll get arrested. So he's still to this day, like from 2010.
Actually, no, he's missing, but
he popped back up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He popped back up and he actually had an interview about the rape case.
Where was he?
He just went undercover basically.
Are you sure? Cause this is super reason that he's missing for 5 weeks.
No, I just looked it up. Okay, no, he's back and he
at the Ecuadorian embassy.
I don't know if he's at, it didn't say where he was at, but he basically did an interview saying like, he talked about the rape case, saying like he basically let everything out of the bag and said that they had enjoyable sex and that it was just...
I watched some interviews with him on that, but I thought that was older, to be honest.
No, well,
if you look it up, like
I read something that there was a very recent announcement that I think in November that he made, but for at least 5 years, he lived in the Ecuadorian embassy. And I know it was very recent because when he did the Democratic National Committee leaks, which was very recent, obviously that was during the election. Apparently Ecuador got pissed off at him for getting involved in a foreign power's election, and they cut off his internet access in the embassy as a punishment.
They'll
so he was there up through at least September of 2016. He was still unable to leave the embassy. So if he left the embassy, it's been in the last couple
of
months.
Yeah, so basically The Guardian 18 hours ago states that Julian Assange defies Swedish prosecutors by releasing rape statement. So he's recently releasing new information,
right,
and a statement on this rape charge. So he's back, and there was a bunch of other places that said like, oh, he's back. You know, he's not dead. The CIA doesn't have him, right, you know, right. Like, cause that, well, but, that was the thing. Like they thought the CIA took him. Anonymous did videos, right, on it. You know,
well, here's the other thing though, like about this case itself. February 5th, 2016, the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention, which is like an international court, decided that Assange had been subject to arbitrary detention in the UK and by the Swedish government since December 7th of 2010, including his time in prison, that he, according to the UN, he should be allowed to walk free, be given compensation for the time that he's been locked in, yeah, and that these crimes were bogus and should be dismissed. And the UK and Sweden said, fuck you, United Nations, if he leaves the Ecuadorian embassy, we're arresting his ass.
Right.
So the UN basically said, no, these charges are kind of bullshit and what you're doing is bullshit. And both of those governments said, you can suck it if he steps his foot out.
Yeah, but you know what? You kind of, you make your bed, you lay in it. He fucked with governments. And
yeah, I mean, pretty much.
And they have a little more power than you do.
Pretty much.
Like, whether you were in the right or the wrong, they're going to fuck with
and
you.
And some of them, most of the charges ran out of the statute of limitations in 2015 in August. The only one that he's still
is that the rule? If you can run long enough, like it will.
There's a statute of limitations. Yeah, yeah.
They can't catch you.
Except on murder. Murder, there's right. No statute of limitations. But the statute of limitations on the rape allegations won't expire until 2020. But all the other crimes have expired. So until 2020, he's got at least 4 more years to never leave the embassy.
Stay in that Ecuadorian bed and breakfast.
He's all Howard Hughes in there. He's just peeing in jars.
Four more years?
Yeah, 4 more years.
Wow.
Yeah. And he did, in September of 2016, WikiLeaks announced on Twitter, and its tweet was, quote, if Obama grants Manning clemency, Assange will agree to U.S. prison in exchange, despite its unclear unlawfulness.
Oh, Manning's wrecked.
So apparently WikiLeaks said, if you let Manning go, we'll give you Assange.
What?
Like, because this is all.
Well, and that's why people are saying WikiLeaks is compromised, because they're thinking that that's bullshit.
Oh, that he wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Why would he give him? Why would they do that?
Right. Right.
So the other thing is too, his attorney, died due to complications from cancer, aka some sort of injection from the government.
No, is that what people
think? No, I don't know.
Uranium cologne.
Uranium cologne got him. Yeah. So he probably knew a bunch of shit though.
And then also in October of 2016, the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence published a joint statement saying WikiLeaks releases originated with Russian state-sponsored hackers seeking to influence the U.S. electoral politics, those DNC things.
Right. And well, they released Hillary's emails.
Right. Like, but they were saying the Russian government did this hack and gave it to WikiLeaks. The DHS has pretty much confirmed that.
What I don't understand is they said she deleted the emails and all of a sudden they're fucking popping up on WikiLeaks. Like, what the fuck's going on?
No. The DNC emails, none of those were actually Hillary Clinton's emails. The Democratic National Convention's leader.
Gotcha. Supposedly, though, there's no way to tell who gave what to WikiLeaks unless the source gets exposed by a third party or exposes itself. There's all kinds of weird encryption stuff in place where they don't even know who gave them the shit.
Right.
They have no idea. Yeah, and like everyone was like, well, now you can't give your stuff to WikiLeaks because look, someone got busted. The record is scorned. It's not. He got caught himself and said, I gave it to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks didn't expose anyone or give up a source ever.
Right.
So that shit's still safe. So who knows that those Russian hackers, if someone else said so, but there's no real proof definitively to say what WikiLeaks got or did not get.
Well, the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence claim that they have proof and that it was a Russian-backed hacker group that gave the information.
If you believe that.
If you landed on the moon.
But I mean, if you believe those intelligence agencies, then there is a
case. If you believe we put a man on the moon.
Yeah.
No. That's a fallacy.
No, I think it's true.
I was waiting for you to finish the next REM line.
No.
You don't want to?
I don't know much about REM.
My name
Someone out there knows.
I think that was it. That was, I think, song. Brad nailed it.
Yeah.
Right.
Perfect.
There. So part of Assange, right? So when you're looking into it, like, these are the awards that he's won from doing this. Like, these are the, like, he's, you know, even though countries want him arrested, he won the Sydney Peace Foundation Gold Medal for Peace with Justice,
which that, the only, everybody gets that.
Yeah, everybody gets that. Three people in history have been given that award. Nelson Mandela, the Dalai Lama, and then a Buddhist spiritual leader are the only other three people who were given this award.
A Buddhist spiritual leader? You can't say his name?
He didn't have his name.
Daisaku Aikida.
That's what I thought, man.
Yeah.
He got the two chicks with one condom award.
Yeah. For several years, he won the Australian Journalists Union and was an honorary member.
Yes.
Oh, that was a good one.
Fuck Brad up.
That's a good one. I hurt my chest.
The Martha Gellhorn Prize for Journalism, the Walkley Award for Most Outstanding Contribution to Journalism, the Amnesty International UK Media Award, Time Reader's Choice Person of the Year, Rolling Stone's Rockstar of the Year, the Sam Adams Journalism Award, Le Mans Reader's Choice Award. I mean, just award after award after award.
It was the UK equivalent to Rolling Stone's
award. Actually, it was the Italian
Rolling
assistant
Stone.
To the
and
manager.
He got the and he got the Rachel Ray Best Blueberry Muffin Award.
That was what really put him
over
the top.
Yes, that put him over the top. That was in 2015.
That's when the CIA tried to kill him.
Yes.
All that status.
Fucking
he,
motherfucker
no booty,
with
though.
The best blueberries.
No booty.
No booty. Gets two booties and he's in trouble.
Fucking pale white
He's a fucking
fish.
Millionaire.
He's a puffy-faced white cave fish. Like, he's not getting any
booty. He got
booty.
Like sex symbol fucking some. Yeah.
How?
You know. He's not that bad looking. If he was like in Lord of the Rings land, he'd be like an elvish king or something.
Pasty Pillsbury Doughboy elf.
You don't like him, do you?
I don't. He's
Dave, fuck his
pasty,
mouth.
Weird
Dave likes him tall,
dude.
Dark, and handsome. Apparently,
yeah,
we know what
Jesus Christ. I feel like I look like shit to Dave.
Hold on, just out of curiosity, name a handsome man. I'm just curious of your taste now.
Don Draper.
Who's Don Draper? I gotta look it up.
I gotta look that up too.
Us white guys.
I know the name. Hold on a second.
I wonder if he's a white guy.
Don Draper. Let's see. That's interesting. Oh, he's handsome.
Oh, it's, yeah.
See?
Yeah, okay. No, he's pretty handsome. He's pretty handsome. He's GQ.
Yeah.
He's GQ.
I'm a Bradley Cooper guy. I'm being honest.
Let me look at Bradley Cooper.
He's good. Man. Those piercing eyes. Kiss him right on the mouth. Not even feel weird about him, man.
Yeah. He's more grungy a little bit. Like,
than you, Brad?
Oh, man. I haven't really thought about a guy I would fuck, but
I didn't say fuck him. I said kiss him on
the
mouth.
Question. No, I didn't even say that. You just said who's a guy that's handsome. I said Don.
Yeah, but it has to
Bradley
be a guy
Cooper right on the mouth.
It has to be a guy you'd fuck.
Limitless Bradley Cooper when he's not down on his when he's all on the pills, man. I'll get him.
Who am I? I'm thinking. What's the guy's name?
Keith Richards.
Johnny
Depp.
He's kind of more annoying. He was Deadpool. Who was that guy? Ryan.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, I think maybe Ryan. Yeah, Ryan.
You could put up with that guy, though. He's annoying, man.
Yeah.
He's funny, though. He'd always be cracking jokes.
He's cute, though. I mean, he kind of looks like me.
I like how we're having this fucking conversation.
I mean, look at that. I mean, come on. Like,
no, he's a good-looking guy.
He's look at this. He's a good-looking guy. He's a I say Bradley Cooper and him. Yeah.
His eyes are too close together. I can't do it.
They are. Yeah. You ruined it for me.
He's got kissing cousin eyes, man.
He does have kissing cousin eyes.
You can't put a coin between his eyes.
Shit.
You can't put a coin
between
his eyes.
A penny won't even fit between them.
You ruined his man crush, dude.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go. Do I got to go to my old staple, Brad Pitt?
Oh, yeah. Brad Pitt. That's a handsome bastard.
Old Brad Pitt or like a snatch Brad Pitt?
I don't know.
All
like,
the Brad Pitts.
I'm talking about like Inglorious Bastard Brad Pitt. Like,
come on, Tyler Durden Brad Pitt. That is like a fucking specimen of male masculinity.
Speaking of Tyler, Tyler Mott's going to have a fucking heyday of shit.
Yeah, I mean.
Tyler Mott is sitting in front of Photoshop right now.
I got to go Brad Pitt. His eyes aren't too close together.
I'm kissing Bradley Cooper. You're kissing Bradley Pitt.
His eyes aren't too close together.
Dave's just having whiskey with Mad Men.
Pretty perfect.
We're gaying out while Dave is clean over here. He's fucking safe.
I mean,
I like how you picked a white guy though. I thought you might go like fucking, huh? Yeah. Thought you can go for a Lando Calrissian. What's his name?
That's a handsome bastard. Yeah.
fucking Tyrese.
What's his name?
Dave picked Tyrese. Yeah. Like, just like.
What's his name?
I mean, look
Billy
at those
D.
abs.
Billy D. Williams.
Fuck yeah. Man.
Billy D. Williams.
Tyrese could blind you with his abs. Put a little baby oil on him. Like.
So I don't know. That's my, I don't know about Assange. I think his philosophy is a little bit too radical for what I think. I think there is information that does need to be kept away from public eyes.
Overall, good. I think there's some stuff like we said, Edward Snowden, there's some stuff that needs to be out there. Some things people need to know about, but then again, you have to look at national security, but then again, you have Australian
totally
versus American.
Him. I think
I don't trust him either.
For someone who's a truth, like he's telling the truth, transparency, I don't think he's being entirely transparent.
I don't either.
There's
either.
A weird little vibe. Yeah.
I've got this, I don't know, like for some reason, something about Snowden.
I think he has
Snowden,
it in for Americans.
Something about Snowden seems trustworthy and what he did and why he did it and the motives.
It seems more wholesome.
And something about Assange just seems kind of slimy and weird and
is
like
the
a
accent?
Hidden agenda. No, I never really watched any videos of him talking while I was doing it. It's just, I don't know, something about
they're
it
both,
just doesn't
they're both
seem
Jedi. But he's a little more on the dark side.
Yeah, maybe so.
You think he's
so?
Twisted? Yeah,
yeah. I'm more on the Snowden boat.
He's,
for
he's
sure.
young Anakin, like right before he.
Yeah,
and this, and tomorrow him. Our website goes down.
That's right. So. That's right. But and I do think it's I do think it's interesting the way that he's framed not as a hacker, not as a spy, but as a journalist.
Or
like
in
all those, or a rapist, but those the awards he
Everyone
wins are awards
plan.
For being a journalist, and he's right. an editor in chief of a website. Like I think that's an interesting way to frame hacker.
It's the build a thousand bridges, suck one dick. That's what happened. Right. Like that guy has all those accolades, and then it's like, oh, the condom broke.
Right,
rapist. Like no, she was right. down. So, if the maybe the
I
condom broke.
I don't know a ton about what happened, but I mean the fact that the UN did its investigation and even said this is all bullshit. Like I don't know, but he claims that it was a honeypot and he was set up. So I don't know.
Damn, look how sexy he is.
See what I'm
just
saying?
Like Brad Pitt just in Fight Club. Yeah.
Oh man, this show took a turn.
Sponsors.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm secure. You know what I mean?
Me too. I said I kissed Bradley Cooper on the mouth, man.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't feel weird about
said
it.
He'd suck his balls.
I did not say that.
He said, yes, you did.
No, above the waist, man. I might flick his nipple or something. Shit's getting weird.
Rewind it. You said you were going to motorboat his balls. Yeah. You said it.
You said, yeah.
Somewhere in 152 episodes, I said motorboat and I said balls.
You
just did it.
You said, quote, his danger.
You now have the ammo.
You said his danger fields are in danger. That was
I looked you right in the eyes and I said, his danger fields are in danger.
That was the exact quote.
You did. Just
I just did. You have all the ammo you need now.
And then
you tricked me into saying all the words.
Then you licked your lips.
I licked my lips. There's no video, though. You can't.
And then your one hand went down to your crotch.
Dude.
I was just adjusting, man.
Yeah.
Okay. I was adjusting. You went under the desk and fluffed me up earlier.
So I had to plug my laptop in. I might as well do something else while I'm down
I got
there.
Excited. No, you didn't touch me. It was just the thought of it.
I know. I didn't make you hard because I know you get pissed off when you get hard. So
I mean,
it was only
don't
halfway.
Fucking do it, man. I fucking hate that shit.
Sponsor.
Yeah. All right. We do have a new website. If you've missed any episodes or haven't been around, there's a new site, a new merch shop.
Please if this happens to be your first episode, sorry.
Yeah. You need to go back because you're missing all kinds of jokes. We're not really gay. We don't usually kiss men on the mouth, man. Not
just this
problem
episode.
With that. Just this episode.
Next episode. No.
Yeah.
No.
Men are pretty too. So new website, new shop. We're coming out with a Patreon pretty soon here when I get back from Mexico. If I make it back. My blonde family might get abducted. Not that Mexicans would abduct me, which did Geronimo, man. And I can't look at him the same.
You're going to go over there screaming fucking racist. Yeah. And
I'm just going to talk with my Indian accent the whole time. Which way to the market? Where do I get the quesadillas?
Can I get a taco? God. It's like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, very much. Yeah.
Napoleon,
I feel bad now.
Tonto Dynamite. All right. So our Patreon's coming soon. And our sponsors, we would like to thank El Yucateco Hot Sauce. You can use code SOFAKING on their website. If you can't find it locally at your Walmart, Target, or grocery store, you can resort to buying it online. But people are scared of buying food online for some reason. I don't know why.
You do it. Nobody else does.
I don't know why.
Fucking weird.
Other people do it.
You do it. You do it and you do it. Nobody else does.
My shoes.
No.
Everything. You get it all online.
No,
I don't want
to
go to the store.
No, you have to try shoes on.
Well, the thing about getting the food is I'm probably getting fresher food than what's at the store.
What's that noise?
Anyway, keep going.
Besides, Dave's, he's like a recovering alcoholic. He can't go to Walmart. Who knows? Assistant manager walks by? Fucking who knows? It's all up in there. He starts stuffing shit in his pockets, man. You don't know. It's like alcohol in a bar, man.
Manager walks by. You know, fucking all over.
Says CSM on the tag. Are you a CSM? I am, sir. How can
security?
I help you?
Security, come here, please. Fucking got a turkey bulge. I just wondered, on the side.
Are those microwaves up there on the top on sale? No, the ones behind you, a little further over.
That's in my pocket.
Yep. Vegan something in his pocket.
Right out of there with a microwave under his shirt. Nobody even noticed.
Does Walmart have anything vegan other than produce? Square belly. Next up. PrintDirtCheap.com. Use code SOFAKING to get a discount at PrintDirtCheap.com. That's who makes all of our stickers. They can make you stickers too. Daily Own Graphics. We haven't talked about it in a while, but he does specialize in dick pillows, and we should be having them featured on our website pretty quick here.
Yes.
They're out of stock commonly, though. I'll just warn you. If you go and they're out of stock, not because we don't have them.
They go fast.
They sell fast. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Tyler Mott is buying all of them. So if like we have a stock of 10 or something, they're gone.
Yeah. Yes.
He has a collection, like a teddy bear collection. He has a shelf around the top of his room, and that's where all the dick
is. Right at eye level. You got to be careful. That should get you right in your eye.
Yep.
Boy.
Thank you to Digital Creations. They make all of our coffee mugs, Castle Times, Coleman. Get them while they're hot. They are on the merch store. Thank you to Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu. You can log into armhunter.com to get instructional DVDs and other stuff like geese and sexy booty shorts for your skin jalapeno like Brad.
I'm enjoying mine.
Yeah. If you have a European bulge, what is it? Oh, what kind of bulge?
European.
European.
Just think of the statues, how the balls are always bigger than the penis.
Oh, okay.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's all grow, no show. That's what it's called.
All right. So that's all I got for sponsors, sir.
All right.
That's it?
That's it.
All right, well, that was boring.
I had a lot of fun.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you die.
I will one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your wish has been granted. Yes.
Unless I figure out transcendence. I am building some robots.
Okay. In that case, don't be a retard.
Every nigga in the industry, no, they can't say shit. Your game is brand new. My shit is fucking ancient. Paint your picture when I hit you. Get your picture for the slitcher. My eyes bloodshot red, going off liquor. Get me high, been a motherfucker waiting on doomsday. I'm shutting shit down like a Y2K. Keep an AK close just in case I got a toast. And have me a radio, dish jock roast. Most motherfuckers know. Automatic with the static bumping. 666, my voodoo and black magic. It's a tragic accident. My telekinesis is sent to know the difference between the angel and the serpent. Wanna be a murder merchant, police keep a legal surgeon caught with possession on your person. Now have your head hurt and screaming. Don't nobody love me, but me, love me. Who loves you, baby? Don't nobody love me, but me, love me. Who loves you, baby? Life trying to scold me. Pieces of my mind chopped like dime rocks from a whole key. I keep the world drunk. Ain't no love for thee. Get your ass out my face before this shit gets ugly. Don't nobody love me. Fuck me. It's God trying to kill me. Must be. Five fingers can't feel me. Two hands can't touch me. Without your mind ahead of space and time. Trust me. Who loves you, baby? Who drives you crazy? Wanna spray me? Even in stereo, you couldn't play me. Storming, swarming with the style spawning. I'ma rock it till I die punk in the morning. Acid classic, melt you down like plastic. I'm a son of a bitch, my father was a bastard. I mastered the fast lane and then I went faster. And plus I'll assassinate you with my gun blaster. If you weigh me on a scale, you get 1,000 grams. What's the price of betrayal? Push your B12 through hell. Don't nobody love me, but me, love me. Who loves your baby? Don't nobody love me, but me, love me. Who loves your baby? Who loves your baby?